Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
While you're taking a break from sports, KSON is putting you on the road to Stagecoach 8 times every weekday, thanks to your San Diego County Toyota dealers and Cox Communications. Ready for 3 days of live country music in the desert? Sign up now at KSON.com.
Woodsy, we are back. Final hour this morning, live from the Peoria Sports Complex, Padres Spring Training with Ben and Woods. We got another show tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m., then we have to head back to San Diego. Very sad. Say enjoy it out here.
Yeah, it's really nice out here, man.
The weather's perfect right now. It doesn't really get better than this in Arizona. Watching this team come together is really enjoyable, and we got another guest joining us here off the back patio. New Padres reliever, Padre for a second time, Drew Pomeranz is with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Drew, it's good to see you again, back with the Padres back in Peoria.
Thank you. It's good to be back here.
So you made your spring debut yesterday, Cactus League. We were actually kind of creeping on you.
Oh, yeah.
When you were warming up, we were standing right above you.
If you saw three creeps looking down into your bullpen, that was us. So we didn't want to distract or anything, but we were definitely creeping on you. There's no other way to put it.
They let fans and creepy sportscasters get really close to you guys here at spring training.
It's very close.
Hopefully you guys weren't holding that baby that was crying for
No, that was not us. I mean, he sometimes brings his two-year-old, but didn't on this trip at least. So
next year. You'll meet him next year. He will definitely be here. No, we were watching your pen yesterday, man. Everything free and easy, coming out pretty well. Mm-hmm. You've been doing this a long time, Drew. How is it getting back out there, first action? New team, old team, but a ton of new faces.
Good. You know, I've been throwing a lot. I was probably overprepared coming into spring training, so I was glad to get out there into games and actually, you know, start to, you know, just get used to the game stuff.
Yeah.
You can throw however many bullpens, so it's not really, you know, at a certain point you need to, like, you know, take that next step. So I was happy to get out there yesterday.
Now, you made the transition basically to full-time reliever last year with Milwaukee Brewers. Just put up incredible numbers. This is kind of your first spring training where you're entering, right, knowing – yeah, okay, Penn, that's my role, as opposed to, hey, I'm probably starting, or I might be a starter, might be a reliever swing guy. How does that change your mentality? How are you approaching this spring?
Well, you know, I'm trying to balance it out. Like I said, I was probably overprepared coming in, so most relievers probably don't throw as much, but I like to throw, and I've always thrown a lot. So, you know, I think that I don't know exactly what my role is going to be, but I know that I like to throw, and I can, you know, I've been built up, and you know, last year I did a lot of multiple innings and all of that. So, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to get built up to go multiples a lot or more than two or whatever, but I'm definitely ready for it. So it's kind of the same as a starter, I guess, is the approach that I'm taking. I'm coming in just throwing, I threw like 8 bullpens before spring training even started. And, you know, I'm just ready for whichever direction they want to take me.
Sure. And, you know, listen, watching your career, you know, you were an all-star here in San Diego. And then, you know, you're starting and you're spot starting. And then like, they shut you down. How did that work? Because you found some velo. There was, you know, 3, 4, 5 miles an hour on a fastball. Did that even surprise you? Just giving your arm a little bit of rest, giving your body a little bit of time. Did that surprise you, or is that something you were working towards?
Before last year, so in 2018, I was hurt a little bit, and my velocity was down. I'd lost some weight. I just cleaned up my diet. I was trying to do all the right things.
Sorry.
And sometimes, but sometimes that, goes backwards, it's like showed up and I was in really good shape.
Yeah, you're feeling so good. You've been working so hard.
Yeah, I know. And then my velo was just down all year, and then I got hurt. I never really recovered from it. So, rewind back to before 2019 season, I really focused on okay, I need to be heavier. I need to gain weight. And I want my velo to come back because, it's really hard to pitch when you're used to having velo and it just disappears. And so that was something I had focused on. But, as a starter, I was, in a jam. I get on one, I was 95. And, it was mainly 90, 92, whatever. But then out of the bullpen, I didn't really have to, I just used all the in-the-jam pitches, basically.
Yeah.
Instead of having to, be, conserve a little bit. So my velo just kind of even jumped up from there.
Padres pitcher Drew Pomeranz with us here on Ben and Woods. Is that the difference between being a starter and being a reliever? As a starter, hey, you're trying to get 100 pitches. You got to pace yourself a little bit. As a reliever, you can go all out. When you're out there, every pitch can be, hey, bases loaded, full count every single time.
Yeah, yeah. As a starter, I was a guy who, a couple guys get on base, okay, let's flip the switch, let's turn it on a little bit, and let's get out of this. But as a reliever, you kind of have to come in with that switch already flipped because, you may get – may throw one pitch.
Yeah, one batter.
You may hit a homer off you, or you may hit him, or you may only get literally one pitch. So it's you have to be ready from that first pitch that you throw.
Ben, can you imagine if they came and said, hey, you guys are doing well. If you put on a little weight, you'd be even better broadcaster. That would be
the greatest thing ever. For sure.
We are talking to Drew Pomeranz here on Ben and Woods. I wanted to ask you this, Drew. You've been around the game a long time. This offseason has been pretty crazy in baseball. Mm-hmm. I think ultimately it's going to be a good thing, but when you heard kind of the news and started watching the videos of the trash can banging from the Astros and things like that, how did you as a pitcher take that?
I mean, I've known that for a while. I've known about that for a long time.
Seems like a lot of guys have.
And I experienced it in 2017. I pitched, in Houston in the first round of the postseason that year, and me and Chris Sale got lit up. And we kind of found out shortly after that's what was going on. And it made total sense because I just pitched against them 5 days prior. And, I went six innings and we won the division. But it was it was just a totally different thing. But, it's part of it. And it's, we knew that was happening. And, from there forward, we were very conscious of it. And, okay, I got to switch up signs, whatever.
You saw Alex Wood switching. What did he switch up? Every batter, every two batters, three batters, they were switching the signs, and he dominated the Astros. And it's crazy. I mean, to have been there and been through it. Did you hear the trash cans?
I didn't specifically hear that then, but I heard stuff was going on. But the last few years, regardless, people just, with all the replay and whatever, everyone's gotten a lot more paranoid about stuff.
Sure.
So. You just make sure to change your signs, and that's just part of the game nowadays.
Yeah. Got to ask you about that bullpen group you're with this year. Some people projecting could be one of the best, if not the best, in baseball. Kirby Yates, Emilio Pagan, Craig Stammer, veteran coming back. Some of these young guys who can hit three digits on the radar gun. What's it like, your first impressions of that bullpen group as a whole?
It's a pretty talented group. None of these people were really here when I was here last time. So I've just seen it from the – from the other side, but we got some great arms down there, and I think it's gonna be an exciting year for us in the bullpen. It's definitely gonna, if everyone's healthy and comes in and does what we're supposed to, it's really gonna help shorten games.
Last thing, because I know you need to go, new rule in baseball this year, they're gonna start implementing it here in the Cactus League in a couple of weeks, three batter minimum or finish an inning. How is that going to impact you, if at all? Maybe it's something you think you guys can take advantage of.
I don't know. I think it probably helps me. Being a free agent this offseason, some lefties probably not really. Yeah, I think it's.
You're not a loogie, as they used to be called, left-handed one-out guy.
I think it's TBD to see how it plays out for some of those lefty specialists or guys whose numbers are very split. Last year when I was pitching well out of the bullpen, it didn't matter who was up there. I was getting both sides out. And, yeah, I think that it really helped me coming into free agency this whole season.
Drew, really appreciate it. It's good to see your face back here in Peoria, and looking forward to getting back out on the mound at Petco Park, seeing you out there. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
That's
Drew Pomeranz appearing with us on our SDCU fan hotline here at Padres Spring Training in Peoria. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U or visit sdccu.com. As far as acronyms go,
Loogie
would be one of the worst ones to be called.
Yeah, Loogie.
You don't want to be a Loogie.
I mean, I'd love to be a Loogie.
You'd love to be a Loogie.
I mean, as I'm in the big leagues and left-handed. Just call me whatever you want. I'm in the big leagues pitching, getting guys out.
Yeah, that bullpen here has the possibility of being really crazy.
It really does, man. And like I said, we
Drew
were watching.
Close. I mean, 100%. Not that, you know, anything's going to happen to Kirby Yates,
right,
but if they needed him to, he can come in, step in, get a save. Pagan has certainly done it a bunch. And then you look at some of these.
The young kids. Oh,
yeah,
my God. Yeah, man.
They have closer stuff.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. I'm really excited about this bullpen. And, you know, again, just watching teams with great bullpens, it seems that can help make up in a lot of deficient areas, Ben, and I think, you know, there's still some question marks on this team, but man, just everybody's attitude that's been out here so far, and I know, again, it's early, you know, caveat to that, it's early. Guys, it's a different feel, man. Thanks again, Drew. Really appreciate
and
it.
And I do think they have guys that lefties that can also get righties out,
sure,
righties that can get lefties
out. Well, they're
going to
have to now. Yeah.
So this new rule, if anything, the Padres might benefit from the change. Other teams might have trouble, more trouble implementing. They get a guy struggling. Oh, you know, he's supposed to come in and get the two lefties. Didn't get them. Now he's stuck out there for the righties.
Yeah.
It could be problematic for some teams. I don't think the Padres are going to have those same issues.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope not. There's a lot of good pieces down there. A lot of good pieces on the team, man. A lot of people are trying to make themselves a little more valuable. A lot of people playing multiple positions. It's going to be fun to watch.
All right, Woodsy,
it's the game now.
Time to announce our biggest fan of the day. If you hear your name, you'll have 10 minutes to call us back. 833-288-0973. Qualify for our grand prize drawing, the trip to Las Vegas for the Shania Twain concert. Two nights at Planet Hollywood, dinner at Cafe Hollywood. Today's name is Tyler Gonzalez. Tyler Gonzalez, you're on the clock. 833-288-0973. Tyler doesn't call in, though. We'll give a chance for the rest of our listeners to call in and steal the prize later in the hour. So that is coming up. Got Kevin Frazier from Entertainment Tonight joining us as well, and we're getting ready for our booth takeover, our baseball broadcast later today. Lots to get to. It's Ben and Woods right here on San Diego's number one sports station. Let's get a check of traffic right now on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick. Ben Woods back with you live at Padres Spring Training in Peoria. And just looking up here, Woods, they are on MLB Network, we got a TV screen. It's silent. But they're announcing the dates and venues for the 2021 World Baseball Classic, which
I love the WBC.
Come to Petco Park twice. It's always been a lot of fun. And we can't hear what's going on, but I just got a text from Craig with the Padres. He said, it's a tweet, actually, that he copied. He said, Miami is going to be the sole U.S. host for the World Baseball Classic
next year,
hosting all three rounds. Normally, it's been in three U.S. cities, but different sites internationally. So, yeah, instead of doing some at Dodger Stadium, some at Petco Park, some maybe in Miami, just all going to be Miami, Miami, Miami. Which, whatever, it's fine. I guess, you know, you don't have to move around logistically, probably makes things a little bit easier. I've noticed, though, when events come to San Diego and then people leave, they always say the same thing. Why don't we just do this here every time?
Every year, yeah.
But then they feel bad. It's like, well, we got to move it around and give it to other places. And then they go other places, and they say, yeah, this was good. Not as good as San Diego, though. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, they'll learn.
Yeah.
They'll learn. I'm actually, when you told me that, I was kind of bummed because I really love the WBC. I'm one of nine that really, really loves the WBC. Years ago, that's the Manny Machado getting robbed by Adam Jones. I mean, just one of the best moments in baseball. As far as I was concerned, I watched that intently. I mean, I will still be watching it, Benny. I will just be watching it in Miami, apparently.
Yes.
I got a text from your wife,
by the way. Yeah, it's the semifinals, finals, the whole thing. It's going to be in Miami.
Got a text from your wife I wanted to share with our listeners.
Go ahead.
We were talking about how earlier two of your favorite things to do while driving is, one, fall asleep. Two, call out names of various restaurants as we pass them. All of them. Right, Paulie? Like, every single restaurant
Every single one.
Hey, Krispy Kreme. Hey, Mickey D's. Hey, Wendy's. Hey, look at that, KFC. Look at that, Long John Silver's. Hey, Dutch Bros. So Shelly said, yeah, he does that. Meanwhile, I'll be trying to talk to him about our plan for the day or something. I said, well, he's a gem. He is a true gem. And she said he is. And that's our buddy Ben.
Well, it may run in the family. My mother just texted me and said, do you remember how your brother imploded on our road trip to Montana when you were kids while we were driving from Spokane? Because me and dad, were all calling out every sign we saw. I guess we just as a family.
Nervous like, Nellies? What are you guys?
Read signs as we're driving by.
Your brother is like me. Yeah. He lost his mind.
Yeah, lost his mind.
Shut up. Just shut up. I get it. It's a Wendy's. We've got Wendy's back home. That'll be me tomorrow on our way to the airport as Ben's calling out the restaurant.
Says my brother and Woodsy could have a support group together.
So great.
For people who have to sit in the car with other people who call out the names of everything that they're driving by.
Just incredible.
Just be glad that our road trip is a minimal 40 minutes from our hotel and not 6 hours.
Very convenient.
Which is probably where we'll stay. Hey, we got you in a great hotel for spring training. It's in El Cajon.
Much nicer
than that place you stayed in Phoenix. Yeah, it's a 6-hour drive there and back each day, but hey, it's a nicer hotel.
Well, listen, it's all trial and error, and just so you know, next year I'll be staying somewhere completely different. If I have to do it myself, pay for it myself, that will be it. No more doo-doo curtains for me.
All right, so Jace Tingler was just doing his scrum outside.
What is a scrum?
It's when a bunch of media get together. Bob Scanlon was doing his thing, interviewing, got a TV broadcast to get ready for today. Had the whole group around. One interesting, I think everyone's kind of asking about now, is how the Padres are going to be handling Mackenzie Gore and Luis Patino.
Yeah.
Haven't seen him in these first few days. Not that we've seen everyone. Chris Paddock and Garrett Richards are both going tomorrow, I believe, which is interesting because Chris Paddock pretty much framed the opening day starter debate as a him or me kind of thing.
Him or Garrett Richards.
Which is not a stunner. You know, if you pay attention,
right,
it's pretty obvious that it's one of those two guys. We were talking about it yesterday, but he kind of pretty much set it out right. And they're both starting tomorrow, which puts them both on track to be the guy on opening day. So it sounds like whoever earns it over the next month is going to get that opportunity on opening day.
Yeah, and I think you're in good shape if it's either of them, Benny. Garrett Richards, again, we watched him throw yesterday. We watched him throw a pen, and it's electric. It's electric stuff. Really cool to be able to stand 10 feet from, you know, I think he was throwing to Torrens yesterday, and sharp curveball, electric fastball, movement. Changeup was a little iffy, but he said that's still kind of the one he's been working on. Threw like 1 out of 5 that was really, really good. But
you gotta get that percentage way up to start using it.
Yeah,
he was
frustrated too. I mean, he's throwing a bullpen, and he was pretty frustrated that he couldn't locate it. But you know, he's working on it, and I'll tell you, man, that arm of his is very, very live, and AJ Preller knew that, and you know, rolled the dice a little bit, paying for a year for him to recover, and he did come up and do well last year, and everybody's really counting on him to stay healthy. He's a really good dude and seems to have worked really hard, you know, to get back to where he is now.
So you get the Paddock and Richards competition, but going back to my original point, Mackenzie Gore and Luis Patino. Haven't seen them yet. We're not expected to see them maybe for another week to 2 weeks before they actually get a Cactus League start or get an inning or two. In the Cactus League, they're going to treat them carefully, not because they're worried about necessarily getting him injured, but Jace Tingler's philosophy is basically, why rush someone we don't have to rush at this point? We generally know who's going to be in our starting rotation to start the season.
Yeah, Mackenzie Gore turned 21 yesterday, and as you know, we're all chomping at the bit to see him in a Padre uniform full-time. Well expected all across baseball to be the next, you know, the next great one. So a lot of pressure on him. There's no reason to rush him along. We all kind of expect to see him at Petco at some point this year. Patino maybe as well. But, yeah, I mean, you know, selfishly, I would love if either of them were on the bump today, Benny. But it's just they're going to be a little more careful with him.
Yeah, Keith Law came out with his top 100 prospects for 2020 yesterday. And Mackenzie Gore was sitting right there at number 3 in the entire minor league baseball, every team. 3 overall in the Padres' top prospect. And again, you know, we've seen some graduation from the minor leagues, but the Padres still have, I think it was 6 in Keith Law's top 100. I'm going through the list here. It's got a big write-up. Patino's 12th, though.
Yep.
So they got two in the top 15. I think C.J. Abrams is back-to-back with scanning here. C.J. Abrams is 25, and then, by the way, the Jesus Luzardo, who we're going to see today facing the Padres for the A's, is right there at 26. Well, let's see a couple of the other guys who are in here. I wish this list was a little easier to manage on the fly. I should have written it down. Scanning. Taylor Trammell is at 43. Luis Campusano is at 42. And I think Adrian Morejon is also in the top 100.
A lot of names, man.
Yeah.
A lot of names in that.
And guys that we're all watching here at camp right now. Now, Torrens is starting behind the plate today, but I am interested to see some Campusano and what he can do.
Love to.
They say that, you know, for a catcher, his ability to put the ball in play and not have huge strikeout numbers is pretty remarkable for what he's been able to do as a young catcher coming out of high school as a draft pick.
How old is he?
I think he's only 19 or 20.
Good
he's still
God,
pretty young.
Man, I'm telling you, walking around, looking at the backfields, looking at some of the players that this team has accumulated over the years, Ben. Again, we know the future is going to be bright. We all want the future to come as soon as possible. And I fully expect this year to be that year of that first giant step forward.
So we're still pretty early here in spring training,
yep.
But just a couple of the storylines that we're watching as we move forward.
Any concern about Tommy Pham?
Yeah, why not? I mean, we haven't seen him yet. They're really not acting unconcerned here. It's not his arm, which is what you'd be worried about coming back. He had the UCL issue that pretty much limited to designated hitter with the Tampa Bay Rays. That doesn't help the Padres
at all.
They need him to be able to play in the field. He hasn't even been able to DH yet in spring training. So, yeah, there's a little worry there. If they were saying, yeah, the arm is still a little tender, that would make me more worried than just general soreness. But we've also seen teams before use that general soreness to kind of mask what could be a bigger issue.
It's a blanket, a little bit of a blanket statement.
Yeah, it's a blanket statement. So, yeah, I mean, until you see him on the field and he looks like Tommy Pham,
yeah,
it's going to be some concern.
Saw him out of the cages yesterday, looked really good.
Yeah, I mean, he's still out there. It's not like he's shut down.
He's not in his hotel room.
No, he's out here working.
I bet he doesn't have doo-doo curtains in his hotel room, I can promise you.
He's not debilitated by some
right.
major injury. He's out working. They just don't want to risk him in the game at this point. So we will continue following that. But when we come back, what an unbelievable, emotional, inspiring, difficult scene at Staples Center yesterday. Kevin Frazier, who covers both entertainment and sports, Entertainment Tonight, well-connected in the entire scene on Kobe's memorial, Kobe and Gianna's memorial. We'll get to that coming up next with Ben Woods. We're at spring training, Peoria, Arizona. Right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Can't believe we've got just one more day left here at spring training, Woods.
I know.
Should be a good one tomorrow. Mackenzie Gore, birthday boy, going to be with us.
21 years young.
GM AJ Preller. Maybe I'll ask him that same question I asked Fernando Tatis Jr. about a potential contract extension.
Already.
See what he has to say.
Never pitched in the big leagues yet. But
no, for Fernando Tatis, not for Mackenzie Gore.
Oh, yeah,
ask Preller about Tatis. I asked Tatis about that.
That's feet to the fire right there, buddy.
That's what our listeners are looking for.
No softball questions on this show.
I don't think we've ever asked a softball
Never
question.
Never once.
Why are you laughing, Paul? Stop laughing. All right, Kevin Frazier is going to join us next as we look back on an emotional day for Los Angeles and really beyond. First, though, let's get one more check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick.
Well, if you normally take the Scripps Poway Parkway off-ramp of northbound 15, you need to have a backup plan. Give yourself a little extra time. They're having to shut that ramp down. Apparently, a vehicle hit a pedestrian. So, yeah, a lot of activity around that. Again, that is northbound 15, Scripps Poway Parkway off-ramp shut down. Also an accident reported on the eastbound King Freeway just past Federal. Got a couple cars involved there over the right shoulder. I'm Kelly Danick with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Woods, I don't know that we've seen a memorial like that
in our
lifetime. I mean, we've had major figures pass away before their time, certainly. Maybe our parents, you know, the John F. Kennedy,
yeah.
what happened in the 1963. But especially in Los Angeles yesterday, I just, an event like that, usually you can't possibly make it live up to what it needs to be. And somehow yesterday did. And joining us right now, it's great to have him back on the show. Got the pulse of Los Angeles entertainment and sports world from Entertainment Tonight. Kevin Frazier with us on our SDCCU fan hotline. Kevin, it is great to have you back on Ben and Woods on a stunningly memorable day in Los Angeles yesterday.
One of the saddest days ever. I mean, to be honest with you, a gut-wrenching, sad day. This morning when I was driving to work, my buddy Michael Eves, he texts me, and he's like, Kobe is dead? Because it's one of those things that you can't still reconcile.
Yeah.
It's that mind-blowing. It really is.
Well, and you were there yesterday. Just kind of walk us through. You know, you can see the clips, you watch it on TV or whatever, but being there, just how was it, Kevin?
Well, two things. One, as a Lakers season ticket holder for the entire run of Kobe and going to that stadium, it was always such a raucous place. Like, the Staples Center always rocked, and you knew that it was going to be a night. He was going to give you 100%. And yesterday, it was so quiet and orderly, and people walked in, and they were very, very quiet and somber. And that was the first thing that kind of blew me away, is how orderly people walked into the building, how quiet they were. And then I'll tell you this, when Vanessa Bryant and her girls walked into the arena, and everyone stood up, and the cheer was more of like, we're trying to love and hug and hold you, not like a cheer for as a fan, but a cheer as someone who would give anything to just sit with you and hold you for a minute to help you through what is has to be the greatest nightmare of your life, losing not only your husband but your daughter. And then Beyonce gets up there, and look, her voice is the say what you want about the dancing and the theatrics and everything, she has an incredibly angelic, beautiful voice. And when she opened up her lungs and she just began to sing, with those pictures of Kobe and the videos we saw of Gianna, it just tore your heart out. It really did. And I don't think people were prepared for how much you were going to hurt for everyone who lost their lives, but Gianna even more so than Kobe.
Kevin, you talked about Vanessa walking out there with the girls. I said earlier, it took a tremendous amount of courage just to be there, to sit there and listen must have been so hard. But then for her to get up on the stage, and I don't know if you've had any experience, but I haven't really heard Vanessa Bryant ever speak. She doesn't do a lot of interviews, doesn't do a lot of media. I mean, you see her there with Kobe sometimes, and to deliver just that powerful message of love and remembrance that she did, it absolutely floored me.
You know, the interesting thing about Vanessa is she has never really wanted to chase the limelight. And remember, she married him when she was still a teenager, and she has grown up in Hollywood. She's just 37 years old. She has so much life left, and she has always enjoyed being mama and being Kobe's greatest supporter and being at those games and watching him and being there because he needed and loved her support. But she's not a person who really chases down and seeks out the limelight. And they had this beautiful life that they had built after basketball with the girls and Kobe, and they'd fallen into this rhythm of, you know, the babies and putting them to bed every night together. Kobe driving the girls to school, him coaching the girls him coaching Gigi's team each and every night. So for her to first go to church with Kobe and then hear from TMZ and other sources that there had been a crash and that her baby and her husband were dead, to bury them, to deal with the unthinkable and just the craziness of that accident and why were they flying into that fog on that day, and then to have to come and speak before 20,000 people for the first time ever, and the first time ever you speak, it's to talk about the loss of your husband and your child. I mean, her strength, the only time that I've ever seen someone match that strength, I feel, in the celebrity world, was when Jennifer Hudson's mother and nephew were killed. Jennifer Hudson went to the coroner's office to identify her nephew's body. And to this day, I look at that woman and I just say, how did you walk into that building and identify that little 9-year-old boy who got shot in the head? And that's what Vanessa matched that with, her strength.
We were talking to Kevin Frazier here on Ben and Woods this morning, and it was a very somber day. And, you know, we all knew Michael and Kobe were tight, you know, the two of the greatest to ever do it. Of course, they're going to share ideas and talk, but Michael Jordan's raw emotion yesterday was something that even took me by surprise. I've been following Jordan, you know, his whole career. I was in Chicago during the great run, and watching that was surreal, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, when you think about it, when were the times that we really, really saw emotion from Michael Jordan?
When they won a championship.
Not during his play.
When they won a championship.
Well, but that emotion, we only saw the real raw emotion in the tears when he won the championship after his father passed away.
Yep, 100%.
And he went in that back room and laid down on the floor and cried uncontrollably. And then at his Hall of Fame induction, which then, of course, led to all the crying Jordan memes that, you know, he has now become just as famous as his basketball career. But I think when he said, when Kobe died, a little piece of him died, and they cut away to Jeannie Buss, who was shaking her head, too, because Kobe was like her brother. Kobe to Dr. Buss was a son. And it's the reason why he remained with the Lakers throughout his career. Those two people, you know, probably felt this more, you know, as much as a family member did, because, like you said, Kobe loved to call him in the middle of the night. And we've talked to so many people who Kobe would call in the middle of the night just to ask them questions about stuff as he prepared, whether it was to get, you know, team ready or during his career. And so the raw emotion for Michael was so beautiful. It was great to see him. And you have to remember all the things they have in common. When you talk about not only two greatest players, but perhaps the two greatest marketers when it comes to shoes in the history of basketball, those two had an uncommon bond.
Yep.
Kevin, you mentioned season ticket holder for the Lakers, and I know this is incredibly unfair, but doesn't this add to the pressure for LeBron James to bring home a title for Los Angeles this year? No one should have that put on their shoulders, the extra weight of winning for an entire city in a mourning, grieving fan base. But in some ways, that's going to be the expectation. I mean, it already was. He's LeBron. It's the Lakers. This just adds to it, though, doesn't it?
Well, you have to remember what the situation that LeBron stepped into. LeBron stepped into a situation where Kobe was still the king of the castle and would have always been, because he spent 20 years here. LeBron has been a journeyman who has played, you know, he has made no qualms about that he's an Ohio kid, you know. AD played in New Orleans. So, yes, it would be beautiful if they could bring home a championship, but it will always be Kobe's castle, Kobe, Magic, Kareem. And to be anywhere near those men, he has to bring home three. And that's a lot. And that's a lot to ask. But it's just, it's the honest answer, because that place, and you saw it with this entire memorial and the memorial, that the makeshift memorial that was out there after Kobe passed away, it was his city. People in the entertainment industry, when he was nominated for an Oscar at the Oscar luncheon, the stars lost their mind. Laura Dern has been very open and honest about how she ran around trying to get a picture with Kobe. She was like, that's all I cared about. She didn't care that she was nominated. She cared about getting a picture with Kobe Bryant. And so that's what you have to understand. He owned the entertainment industry, too. And so LeBron's got to do more than win one. He's got to win a couple.
Now, we're at Padres camp. We're hearing the story this morning about how Manny Machado was so starstruck during the World Series when he got to meet Kobe Bryant. And Kobe actually put his jersey on and met him before one of the games when he was playing for the Dodgers. He just had that effect on everyone, even superstars. Kevin, before you go, Kevin Frazier from Entertainment Tonight with us. Usually, you know, you get a big memorial like this, it's part of the healing process. This isn't over. I mean, LA's not just fine now. What happens after this in your mind here with Kobe and the city of LA?
Well, I mean, I think that the next emotional thing is you have to remember, he's going into the Hall of Fame, and there will definitely be a Kobe statue. So those are going to be incredibly emotional moments, and it's going to be a minute before we, you know, this city and everyone is healed, because there's still so much unfinished business. But, boy, that Hall of Fame induction is going to be something else. And when they put that Kobe statue up, and the question is, does it become a Kobe and Gianna statue?
Yeah.
That goes out in front of Staples.
Got to.
So
got to,
I think, right? Before the city heals, those things have to happen, and you also need time. And they need time. People need time to embrace Vanessa, because I think that she is one of the key elements to making everything heal, is that a chance to embrace her and to get to see Natalia and those little girls grow up.
Kevin, I really appreciate it. You offer a very unique perspective, the pulse of Los Angeles, both entertainment, sports, industry, really the kind of the lifeblood of that city. We appreciate you spending a few minutes with us this morning. Thank you so much.
Hey, you guys, thanks for bringing me back in the fold. I'm glad. I mean, I felt like a jilted lover for a while.
Never, ever, ever.
Not a chance.
What was
not
going
a chance.
On.
Okay. This is the man who made me wear a tuxedo for a week. I can't
believe
it.
Oh, that's right. That was pre-Woods, though.
Pre-Woods. On our SDCU fan hub. Sorry, I'm just off.
Oh, thank you for that.
Oh, no.
SDCCU
guys,
fan
we're
going to
bring back the style. We're going to bring back the style. We'll bring back the style. Don't worry. We're going to get that fixed. Because you dropped off.
No, you're there. You're still there. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equalizing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U or visit SDCCU.com.
You okay?
Yeah, I just don't need to be saying a lot of letter C's at the end of the show.
I got you.
Been going for 4 hours. Got a whole other probably 3-hour baseball game that we're doing this afternoon. It's today is not even close to done.
No.
I am going to have to stay for 8 hours after the show on Thursday to collect all these flubs.
Friday's going to be epic.
I'm hoping for five or six in the Padres broadcast today.
Yeah, yeah. I shan't be calling them out today, though.
Flubs of the week.
It's going to be
a memorable one on Friday.
I wonder whoever's running the board, I wonder if they can just sound the alarm if Ben flubs during a Padres game and just ruin Jesse's broadcast.
I'm going to write them down.
Right, here's another opportunity. Ben and Woods brought to you by Land Rover. Take every journey to the next level during the Own the Adventure sales event happening now until March 31st. Visit your San Diego County Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond. And I'm told our biggest fan did not call in again today, which means throwing the prize back out there for all the listeners. 833-288-0973. Fifth caller right now. We'll qualify to win our Shania Twain Las Vegas getaway two-night stay, dinner at Cafe Hollywood. Call now, 833-288-0973. You can steal the biggest fan prize right now. All right, Woods.
Got a few minutes left, Benny.
Yeah, gearing up. Looking forward to the game today. Padres and the A's. You'll be able to hear it here on 97.3, The Fan at noon.
Yes.
Jesse, you and I are going to be in the booth.
Yes. I'm color now, two.
Yes. You're color two.
Color two.
We'll have the Double Secret Incorporator.
Yes.
Which, if you want to go back and listen, I think it was...
It was around 7:30.
It was during Don't Do This, right? Because we bumped it back. So right about 7:28, 7:29, Jesse and I each gave each other the word we're supposed to incorporate into the broadcast this afternoon. But you left the room because your job is going to be to try to figure it out. And then tomorrow, you're going to come in during the show and tell us what our incorporator words were.
I will be keeping copious notes during the broadcast, as every great broadcaster
does. Well, you know, if we do it poorly, it'll stick out like a sore thumb.
True.
If we do it well, you'll be thinking, wait, what did he say that was odd? Everything sounded very normal and usual for a baseball broadcast.
Question for you, a technical question. I need to keep a scorebook today too, scorecard?
You're a color commentator.
Color
now,
doesn't have
you're
to.
Welcome to if okay. you want to if you want to have
preserve
to
the moment.
Back. You can look at mine. I'm not. It's not like it's a secret. I'm not going to be like, you can't look over my shoulder like we're in like an English test or something.
When people used to try to copy off you in high school, you didn't let them, did you? Did you put the crook of the arm around your paper? Were you that guy?
I plead the fifth.
Oh, USOP. Because I would have been copying off
I you. Wanted the teacher to see that I was protecting my paper, but I didn't mind if someone actually looked. I just wanted it to look
wow.
like I was doing the right thing.
That's devious
But I
behavior.
Really didn't
You
matter.
Didn't care.
I didn't really care.
Did you ever cheat off somebody's
paper? I didn't
paper.
Want other people to do poorly. I wasn't competitive. Like, hey, I'm getting an A.
I want to get the best grade.
Or C. I want to get. That wasn't it. I just didn't want the teacher to think I was part of like some scheme where, hey, if you let me copy off your paper, then you know I'll give you my lunch money or something. I didn't want anyone to think something was going on.
Did you ever steal a glance at someone's paper?
I don't think so.
Really? You ever bring a cheat sheet?
Well, honestly, what's I mean, I wouldn't trust anyone else's answers more than my own. During school.
Have you ever been unprepared for a test?
No.
Never.
I don't think
studied
so.
For all of them.
Yeah.
You
or
remarkable.
Some were the case, like, I knew I knew the materials.
Yeah,
really
so you didn't
need
worry
study,
about it.
I never felt like I walked in, like, having no idea.
Never brought a cheat sheet
guessing.
In?
No.
Used to
I mean,
hide
occasionally
one.
There was the open note or
yeah,
open
of course.
Tests, but.
I used to hide one between my legs.
Really?
Yeah. Sometimes, if I needed it.
And you would just kind of surreptitiously yeah. look down between that. You didn't think the teacher would notice.
Never got caught.
You're looking down between your legs.
Never got caught.
I'm thinking the teacher just didn't want to make a big deal out of it.
Well, I think the teachers love to catch their kids
Do
cheating.
They?
I think so.
Sounds like a lot of paperwork.
Or like after. They would say something after, but they never. I never
hey, if you had to go to the trouble of writing down the material on the cheat sheet, you probably learned it a little
you
bit better
anyway.
You kind of studied.
Anyway. Isn't
yeah,
that
exactly.
kind of
if
studying?
I'm a teacher, I'm going, hey, at least he's putting in the effort to cheat.
You know, the other thing is, when I was a kid, those big calculators, remember the big ones with the slide, the cover?
Right.
So I would sometimes.
The old graphing
the
type.
Old, yeah, I would tape.
Scientific calculator.
I would tape a little, some little notes inside of the slide thing. I was not good with math and numbers. Never have been, really, which is why all the new numbers that have been added to baseball, it's been really hard for me. Baseball, for me, when it was a C-ball, hit-ball game, much easier to follow and understand.
You know, it's funny. We were
You've now added math to
we
my
We were
going to
talk
game.
About that today. I don't know, do we have Hammer back? Hammer, are you in the studio?
Hammer?
At the end of the show, we've been giving away prizes. Because we were going to talk about the technology of the game. We were at Surprise yesterday.
Oh, yes.
Where the Rangers are also, it was the Royals against the Padres, but the Rangers' batting cages are right there at the stadium.
Yep.
So we're looking in. Was it Greg Bird?
It was Greg Bird, former Yankee heir apparent at first base. I mean, up with the Yankees a lot, was basically given the first base job, kept getting hurt. It was an elbow. It was a foot. It was a toe. It was a knee. It was always something with Greg Bird. They finally had enough. Texas Rangers picked him up, so he was in the cages yesterday. So we went and watched him hit, and it's just wild. It's wild. BP is no longer BP. There was a guy with a goatee and a computer, a laptop open.
Is the goatee important to the story?
Kind of.
For
I think
you,
so.
It
I feel
is,
like
I think.
It is.
Yeah.
I feel like the guy with the – there's always a guy with a goatee and a laptop. And I feel like those things are simultaneous and hand-in-hand in baseball these days. So he had a goatee, laptop open. Greg, would you rate that on a scale of 1 to 10? It was about a 7. Plug something in the computer. Wait, hold on. Types in something. Greg hits again. That was about a 9. Okay.
And they're using it. Like a tracking knob
yeah,
at the end of the bat.
There was about 100 different bats, and they all had holes in them where you could like either put something or cover it with a some sort of device that would track, you know, the bat path and all that. And it blew my mind. I mean, I started thinking, why? I've watched Greg Bird. I know about Greg Bird. And I'm like, I wonder if more analysis is what Greg Bird needs. He has one of the best swings I've ever seen, left-handed. Beautiful. Gorgeous. And I'm like, I wonder if it's the best thing for him to go hit 25 balls in a cage and then be like, oh, my ninth swing and my 14th swing, I really like. It's wild just to see it kind of in motion with a real big leaguer who's trying to make a ball club in there using this technology right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, Tony Clark, Players Union, was – in the Athletic story about how the technology in the game is really the new frontier.
Yeah, it is. And he essentially blames the tech side of the front offices for what happened with the Astros.
Creating a culture that would lead to, well, hey, this technology is helping us here. How come it can't help us with stealing signs?
Correct.
It's just normalized that tech behavior
Correct.
In baseball.
Looking for that edge and looking at it get better. And, you know, in my mind, I was like, In my mind, Greg Bird, C-ball, hit-ball. You got a great swing. Just C-ball, hit-ball. But it was wild to see in person.
Great show today.
Good Paddock, job, boys.
Tatis, Drew Pomeranz. So fun. Thanks back in the studio. Hammer, Brian, great job. Paul here. Woodsy here. Jim Rome Show is coming up next. Coach Sean Quintero this afternoon. For Woods, I'm Ben. Thanks for joining us in spring training. Padres baseball on 97.3 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.